Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
They are going to be giving crack pipes away to... I'm not sure who. I've not read the story, but Nikki, you've got it. You've got the headline here. What do you want to share?
Biden administration to fund programs that hand out crack pipes to prevent infection and promote racial equity.
Do people get infections a lot from smoking out of like used crack pipes or something? Because I mean, I could understand heroin needles, maybe.
I don't think so. Like, I think they get sores and infections, but I think that's just from like picking and scratching and like typical crackhead things.
Yeah, but exactly. You know? It's not the pipe doing it. So.
Yeah, I think the pipe is probably the least of their worries, to be completely honest. But so this article goes on to say the $30 million grant program will distribute funds to nonprofits and local governments to make drug use safer and advance racial equity. I don't know how they're really rationalizing that.
I don't
that
either.
That part is almost insulting.
It sounds
weird.
Pretty
it is
racist.
Insulting. Yeah.
I think what they're suggesting is that some race might use crack more often than another, and I don't know if there's any truth to that whatsoever.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Three people have done crack, one of which got addicted to see if he could get off of it, and he admitted that on the show, so nobody. And they're all white, so.
Yeah, there's definitely no shortage of white crack addicts out there.
They're trying to like get people addicted to drugs. I mean, we already know that the DEA is like the biggest drug dealer in America, if not in the world.
Hmm.
So they're just trying to, you know.
Is that the DEA or the CIA?
Both, probably.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like when your drug dealer like gives you a little sample, that's basically what it's like. They're like, here's a crack pipe on the house.
Yeah, I wonder how are they going to be distributing these? Like, what is the plan? To whom will they be giving them on the local area, right? Or is it going to be you can mail in and get a free crack?
Is there a request one?
So there was a thing. If you go to CVS, I don't know if it's like this in every state, but if you go to CVS and you register as a heroin addict or an illicit drug user that shoots up, you can get clean needles at CVS.
Wow.
So they'll actually give you free needles so you don't get hepatitis or AIDS or whatever else. So I'm wondering if it's going to be like that where you can register as a drug user and they'll give you free crack pipes and whatever else.
Now, I want to make sure I'm clear on this. I'm not opposed to the idea of harm reduction. I think that it is a good idea to help people who are in an addicted state to be safer with their addictions, so maybe they'll have a chance to realize they've got a problem, seek out some help, turn their life around. Because if you overdose and you die, you're never going to get to the point of finding some help and maybe having a productive life at some point. So, I mean, I definitely am in support of harm reduction.
If you give people crack pipes, then they're not going to shoot up.
That's
stupid. Most people don't shoot up crack, though.
Yeah, they're not just
I mean, you can, but I don't think people usually do. But
that's seriously what they're saying?
Yeah, that's seriously what they say.
But crack pipes have been so cheap. If somebody was doing meth, shooting it up, and then they were like, I could just switch to smoking crack, they would have just done it.
But also, people don't shoot up because it's, you know, because they don't have a crack pipe, right? They shoot up because you get high faster and it's stronger that way. People are shooting up because they like to not, if they wanted to be smoking it, they'd be smoking it. You know, it's not hard to get a crack pipe, but it says handing out pipes is also intended to prompt users to smoke rather than inject themselves with some substances like meth, as injection is far riskier.
Okay.
So it's just, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Apparently, there is an emerging practice as of 2004 of injecting crack cocaine. So,
somebody on this channel says people do inject cocaine.
Yeah, apparently that's a thing.
Yep. So,
but it's harder to get a needle, by the way, than it is.
Yeah.
To get
oh, absolutely.
Pipe.
I don't know. I was gonna say, so why wouldn't they just give out needles and it would be safer than them using dirty needles or whatever? But I guess their point is getting people to smoke. But I don't know.
So other harm reduction supplies that could be purchased with the grant money include testing equipment for sexually transmitted diseases, overdose reversal medication, medication lockboxes, syringes, and substance test kits. The grant program lasts 3 years and included 25 awards to up to $400,000.
So this is a program that would allow, I presume, state agencies or local agencies to apply to get this kind of money? That's what it sounds like.
That's
to
what
me.
It sounds like. It's not entirely clear on what on who the awards would be going out to, but I'm assuming yes. And then again, it says it's still against the law to sell or distribute drug paraphernalia, including such pipes, unless authorized by state, local, or federal law. So you can't do it, but we can because we're the government.
But we can sell glass roses.
Yeah, exactly, because technically that's not illegal. There were an estimated 100,000...
Right, just to clarify, it's only drug paraphernalia once... If it's marketed as drug paraphernalia or if there's residue on it.
Yeah.
So if you know, the classic example is at a head shop, you don't want to buy a bong, you have to buy a water pipe. On one hand, I see this as some level of harm reduction, and I support harm reduction. Of course, I'm against the government mandating things in general, against government's existence, but we know it's not going to go away tomorrow, so I'd rather see them do harm reduction than do the war on drugs, but they haven't stopped the war on drugs.
Would you be against it altogether if you found out that they're giving these away, but the taxpayers paying more money than the crack pipe users would spend if they were just buying crack pipes?
Oh, there's no doubt that these crack pipes are going to probably cost five times what a normal crack pipe
would
cost.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I don't even feel like it's really effective harm reduction. The free market could do it probably better.
Well,
so I'm just against it altogether.
The state probably, the government gang probably isn't the provider of the crack pipes. They're just providing grants to local agencies, likely, who are applying for the grants, and then presumably they would get a better deal on it.
Through taxpayer money.
So what is it, like $20 million it said? $30 million.
That's the total amount available? Is that right?
Yeah. It's a lot of crack pipes.
Well, they're going to be doing other things with it,
as
you mentioned.
Yeah, they said that they're going to be giving Narcan and stuff. And
condoms, syringes, safe sex kits.
Isn't it the federal government that makes Narcan... I don't know if it's like scheduled, but it's to where it can't just be over the counter.
I believe you're right.
Oh, I didn't know about that because I know a lot of people who carry Narcan on them. So
it is
legal
to do that in New Hampshire. So New Hampshire had to pass a statute to specifically exempt Narcan from drug prohibition.
Speaking of taking people away from things they're used to, things like crack, cocaine, and meth. And even just like cocaine became popularly used just because actually good drugs were made illegal, like psychedelics.
Yeah, that's another important point, is that the war on drugs has actually driven harder drug use, the creation of harder drugs. Crack itself was created because of the war on drugs. There's a good chance, because remember, it's just a freebase form of cocaine.
Yeah.
So for listeners that don't know.
Yeah, it's just cheaper.
What that? Well, is it cheaper?
It is cheaper, yes.
Okay, so I've never bought either of those things.
Because it's made with baking soda or maybe baking powder.
Yeah.
So it's like half and half.
Yeah, they like cook it or something. I'm not exactly sure how to make crack, but...
Freebase is a form of cocaine that you don't snort, you smoke it. That's what a freebase, as I understand it, is. So, you know, the traditional use of cocaine is insufflation. You snort it. Crack cocaine is I guess it's a crazier high or whatever. It's because it's more of like a concentrated
stronger
thing, which is why I'm confused that cocaine would be more expensive, because I always figured crack was like
because
more
cocaine is all cocaine and then
crack
is
cut.
Cut,
okay.
Yeah,
it's cut and cooked, but somehow I don't. From what I hear from people, they speak like it's stronger.
Yeah, I've always thought that too.
Just an interesting detail, it's apparently a 75-page application. So if you want this grant as a local organization that wants to, you know, hand out needles or crack pipes or whatever stuff that this might pay for, 75 pages is
That's
what
worse
you have
than
to
food
fill
stamps,
out.
I think.
I guess. I've never applied for food stamps.
I've never applied either, I don't think.
I suspect it's
I've
way worse than
it.
That, yeah. The quote, the purpose of the program is to support community-based overdose prevention programs, syringe services programs, and other harm reduction services, said the document. And again, $30 million. What is the DEA's budget? That's what I want to know, because...
It's a great question.
Yeah. Let's see if we can find out
a lot
real
more
fast.
Than $30 million.
The fiscal year 2022 budget request for the DEA totals $2.4 billion.
What a waste of money.
Yeah.
Well, they should just I don't know. I was going to say they should just pay for it with all the crypto they just stole the other day, but they shouldn't. They should not.
Yeah. We haven't talked about that story on Free Talk Live.
I could pull up a story about it, but I didn't have one. I just watched a video, but I could pull up a story if you want.
There was something like $3 to $4 billion worth of cryptocurrency that they stole from some people.
120,000 bitcoins. These people were smart enough to rob Bitfinex, to hack Bitfinex, and steal 120 bitcoins, but they didn't know.
120,000.
Sorry, 120,000. I don't know why I keep saying that, but 120,000 bitcoins. But they're not smart enough to turn it into Monero. They put it into.
That's a great point.
They put it into.
Maybe they're maximalists.
Maybe.
I just
for listeners that don't know,
you could turn it into Monero, then turn it back into Bitcoin.
A Bitcoin maximalist is somebody who is they believe that Bitcoin is the one true cryptocurrency, that all other cryptocurrencies are inferior, and that all other cryptocurrencies will never succeed, that only Bitcoin is the true way to go.
But if you just stole a bunch of Bitcoin and the addresses are publicly viewable, just leaving it in there is stupid instead of just turning it into, I mean, I don't want to give stealers any ideas, but I'm pretty sure most people know to do that.
I do like your point, though, that it would make sense to convert it into some sort of legit privacy coin. But some people, I mean, maybe these women didn't realize that Bitcoin is traceable. For a while, people didn't think that Bitcoin was traceable.
But I mean, I would never put the average person down for not knowing that, but somebody who hacked Bitfinex and is like a master hacker and holds 120,000, you don't want to learn about it, like the basic, you know, things about it.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if nobody's going to be on any more shows coming up soon, like what happened to his bail conditions and everything.
Yeah, so our friend and co-host Nobody, who was arrested along with me and several other of our friends in a pre-dawn raid on March 16th of last year in the Crypto 6 situation, which is you can go to thecrypto6.com to learn more about that if you're a new listener to the show and you don't know about the Crypto 6. Nobody was the person who was kept in jail the longest. I was there the second longest. I had 69 days in jail. Nobody had 6 months behind bars until they finally released him on some very ridiculous bail conditions, which included at the time him being completely prohibited from expressing himself publicly via any kind of online audio, video, possibly even blog posts. It wasn't really a clearly written order, so it's one of those things where if you're not sure, you should probably not do it, rather than, you know, end up getting your bail revoked.
Yeah, I think they do that intentionally.
Yeah, and then have to go back to a jail cell to await trial on what are some total garbage charges that we're facing. Things like some of the things these people are facing in this crypto story. Money laundering, quote unquote. Well, in my case, I'm facing that. Nobody, thankfully, is not. But we are facing things like, quote unquote, unlicensed money transmitter, conspiracy to be an unlicensed money transmitter.
There's got to be more to this crack pipe giveaway, because you know, I grew up in Portland, Oregon, and I mean, not necessarily me specifically, not necessarily, but you could smoke out of light bulbs, pop cans, you know. So why would you give away something that's, I don't know, it's weird.
I mean, the poorest section of the population does crack, and they can afford crack pipes already.
Yeah.
It's just really, it is weird. I remember one time I was in a Walmart and there were these two people that were like sketching me out. I was like a kid or a teenager, in the light bulb section next to me and my brother, and they were like, oh, this one will work. And then like picking up the next one, this one won't work. And my brother told me, he was like, they're going to do drugs with those. I was like, what? How? But I don't know.
And then my other question I wanted to make, besides, I hope Sarah calls in tonight because I know she's not listening, but I do love her. is that Nikki? What's your problem with Kentucky, Nikki?
I don't have any problems with Kentucky. I think the point I was trying to make, I know what you're referring to. The point I was trying to make in the previous segment was that it's a pretty conservative state, so I it's not surprising me that a senator from Kentucky would try to shame drug users.
Yes, I just commenting about the yesterday's caller about Trudeau of Canada, that his parents were down in Cuba in the 1970s, and and they thought that the mother had an affair with Fidel Castro, and he's like Fidel Castro's son. Is that what I was told? Is that what I was
hearing?
Yes,
it's a really big conspiracy theory online that Justin Trudeau is the son of Fidel Castro, but he was raised by a different man.
It looks pretty clear to me. I mean, if you've seen the photographs, they really do look identical.
And the timeline lines up. If it was just the photographs, I'd be like, okay, that's
right.
The
just fact was the mom of Justin Trudeau was there
Hanging out with Fidel Castro during the years that he would have been conceived.
And apparently she and her husband were known to be swingers. So if she was with Fidel Castro, it wasn't that she was cheating. She was doing it likely with the approval of her husband.
And then the icing on the cake is that his dad, I think his name is Philip Trudeau, he looks nothing like him. He doesn't
That's
look
right.
like he's remotely related to his supposed son, Justin Trudeau.
That's
so
spicy.
Somebody stole in 2016 over 100,000 bitcoins from the Bitcoin exchange called Bitfinex. And actually, the Shire Free Church was involved in getting robbed in that particular case because we had an account with Bitfinex at the time, and they stole some of the church's bitcoins. And what was interesting about that was Bitfinex actually tried to make good by, it was really strange, they offered like their own token that you could trade on their marketplace and just to see what, like, basically the idea behind the token was, do you think Bitfinex is going to make this whole someday? And if you thought
so, you're like voting?
You were trading their token. So you could trade their token and then the market would decide what the value of this token was worth. And over time, the value of the token went up because people believed that Bitfinex was going to honor the robbery or whatever that they were going to make.
And did they?
Make it good. Honestly, I don't remember. I took, once the token hit 50%, I sold it all off and I said, you know, that's good enough.
It's probably a good idea.
I'm out of here. Well, plus Bitfinex also banned U.S. users shortly thereafter. So one of the questions that Paul Puay from Edge Wallet was asking on Twitter earlier today is, now that the federal government has all the Bitcoin back, or at least 90 or 80% of it from this hack, are they going to give it back to Bitfinex? And if they do, will Bitfinex actually reimburse their users for what was lost? Because it wasn't Bitfinex that lost the money, it was their users. What is the Bitfinex hack all about, and why is it relevant now? The statement of facts, quote-unquote, available at justice.gov, because those aren't necessarily facts, it's just their claim and their story, does a good job of setting the stage. Quote, in or around August of 2016, a hacker breached Victim VCE's security systems and infiltrated its infrastructure. While inside the network, the hacker was able to initiate over 2,000 unauthorized Bitcoin transactions, in which approximately 119,754 Bitcoin was transferred from VCE's wallets to an outside wallet. At the time of the breach, that was valued at about $71 million worth of Bitcoin. Due to the increase in value, the stolen funds are now valued at over $4.5 billion as of this month. Now, the story here at NewsBTC points out that money ended up in a Bitcoin address associated with Ilya Liechtenstein and Heather Morgan. But notice that law enforcement never actually says that they are the hackers. In fact, the couple has only been charged with money laundering. What's the story here? According to sister site Bitcoinists, the suspects were arrested in Manhattan. Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco called the largest in the terms of financial seizure in history. In that sense, the government official stated that Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are not a, quote, safe haven for criminals. And then they go on with all their law enforcement tough talk. Who is Ilya Liechtenstein? He is a tech entrepreneur and Y Combinator alumni. In his Twitter account, which is at Unreal Dutch, he defines himself as a human angel investor, Web3 developer, and serial entrepreneur. So who is Heather Morgan, a.k.a. Razzle Khan? This is the girlfriend or
fiancé. Her name is Razzle Khan. Seems bad.
Reportedly, Heather Morgan is a successful copywriter who grew her own business without outside investors. On her Twitter page, which is at Heather Rehan, R-E-Y-H-A-N, she defines herself as a serial entrepreneur, SaaS investor, Razzle Khan, surrealist artist, rapper, and fashion designer with synesthesia. Also, Forbes writer. Her most crucial tweet says, quote, good guiding compass to live by. How much of a positive impact does your life have on others, including society and nature? unquote. The reason she's much more interesting than her husband is her rap alter ego, Razzle Khan. Her videos are not available on YouTube anymore, but you can still listen to the songs on SoundCloud. We listened to a couple of clips that they were published here, and they were pretty awful.
I wouldn't call them songs.
Yeah. And you thought it was a joke. And maybe she is, like, a joke.
It is like a joke, but it's... She's making money off of it, so it's not a joke in that way, but it's a joke as in she's not taking herself too seriously. She seems goofy.
Well, if she's sitting on 100,000 bitcoins, it doesn't matter whether or not she makes money on the rap, right? So then they go on, they just share some of the couple's videos, but they say more interesting is Morgan's career as a Forbes writer. In her article titled "Experts Share Tips to Protect Your Business from Cyber Criminals," the supposed Bitfinex hacker says, quote, "Companies that didn't already have distributed teams or work from home policies have struggled to transition to going fully remote amidst the pandemic." The headline caught my attention from the Washington Post. He's cute, but is he swab worthy? How rapid testing became a dating ritual.
What?
Yeah.
Is he swab worthy?
Swab worthy, yeah.
That is, oh my God.
Can you imagine your girlfriend saying that to you? Like, this guy is cute. Do you think he's swab worthy?
I would literally stop being friends with them.
Asking someone to stick something up their nose isn't usually polite second or even third date behavior. But when Jamie Gloin's date called an hour before they planned to meet up for an art exhibit in downtown San Francisco saying she had a headache, he swooped in with a nose swab.
She was probably like, God, I lied about this headache and now he's coming over with a nose swab.
Gloin had several COVID-19 rapid tests on hand, so he took one to her apartment. As soon as his date's drops hit the test strip, two pink lines appeared.
Ew.
She was positive. Gloin bid his date adieu and went to the art exhibit alone.
Oh, you have a headache and you tested positive for a cold. Sorry, I'm going to go alone.
It was his 41st birthday, and though he was celebrating solo, he was relieved to be vaccinated, boosted, and to have had an antigen test to spare. In those days before vaccines... Oh, the virtual dates thing, so... I guess people weren't actually going on real dates. They would have a Zoom date, apparently. Mm-hmm. And they say, in parentheses here, good lighting is important. Keep it short and don't get too drunk. Are there tips for your virtual dates?
What?
In those days before vaccines, daters might have agreed to isolate or scrambled for a PCR test before hooking up or dining indoors together. Once vaccination started in 2021, meeting strangers in person got safer and easier.
If only people took taking STD tests this seriously.
I know, right? And I think the way this article is speaking is so funny because you know this wasn't the majority of the people.
What do you mean?
You know... doing things like this. This is definitely a minority of people that are going above and beyond to follow all of these excessive protocols. I think the majority of people were going on dates normally. They weren't wearing masks.
Even in cities?
No, I agree with Nikki. Like, we live in the Northeast. It's pretty compliant.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Massachusetts, and I lived in a city. I mean, it was Texas, but nobody cared about if I was wearing a mask or not. If it was like, well, anywhere we went into, like, I would have to put on a mask with them, and that was just normal for me and anyone I was with, but it wasn't like they were like, you're not going to wear a mask. It wasn't anything like that. You know, like, nobody cares for their own safety if you wear a mask. It's just a thing of it's a social thing.
Having a vaccine doesn't mean you aren't spreading COVID.
And also, from what I understand from an article I read from NPR just 2 days ago, they're just now realizing how the immune system works. They said...
Just now?
They said now that they have more information about how the immune system works, they realize that getting infected does provide you with years of...
Immunity. But yet they're also saying, oh, you should still get a vaccine even if you've been infected, which...
Even though the people who are vaccinated are the ones in the ICU dying when they get COVID, and everybody that I know that has gotten COVID and is unvaccinated is relatively, if not asymptomatic, they're still at home. Like, they're not even at the point where they need to be hospitalized.
Yeah,
so
my whole family, sorry, just got Omicron in Alabama, and they all just got over it like it was a cold. And then my dad, he developed pneumonia, but they even told him, like, it's such a little case of it, just go home. They didn't give him medication.
So
there are doctors who will tell you that it's actually a bad idea to get a vaccine for COVID or for anything after you've already come down with the thing, that the natural immunity is superior and getting a vaccine can actually be harmful. After that.
Like I've never had a chickenpox vaccine because I got chickenpox as a kid.
Right.
It would be retarded to just go get myself injected with the vaccine.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense because you already have immunity, and it might actually be worse to get the vaccine if you've already had chickenpox.
One woman said she was appalled that someone she'd been out with a few times had said he'd eaten inside an Olive Garden, risking your life for risking your life for in at Little Washington, she might understand, not Olive Garden.
Wow.
So it's okay.
So she's stuck up.
Yeah, it's okay if you go to the frou-frou foodie place, but you can't go to Olive Garden.
Oh, and I thought it wasn't risking your life. I thought it was risking everyone else's lives.
Oh, good point.
Right? She sounds selfish.
Yeah. So we're back to this original story here about the dating scene on how rapid testing became a dating ritual, according to this propaganda piece. They've looked at some San Franciscans and how just frightened they are still in general. Here we are, you know, 2 whole years basically after the start of this thing. And people are still living in fear. They're still, you know, doing this ridiculous nonsense. But we're going to continue here.
Well,
so
you forgot to mention one thing. You should describe the art on this article.
The artwork is two people. A male and a female, presumably, who are staring at each other, and they have there's like hearts in the background, but the hearts look like they're kind of made from maybe like a virus or something like that. Julie Kraftchick, a 38-year-old woman in San Francisco again, who hosts the Dateable podcast, thinks there are two types of people, those who are still bunkering down, quote, and the people who are like, everyone's going to get it, I may as well get it over with, unquote, she says. She considers herself to be cautious, but will take a calculated risk. When UZ, Kraftchick's 40-year-old co-host, and her partner go on double dates...
I'm sorry, but is having sex at the risk of getting a cold really called a calculated risk in the winter?
That's how these people are expressing themselves. That's how they are living. That's the way they're thinking. They literally believe they are at risk of death from this. Even though we know that statistically, even according to the government's own bunk statistics, there's almost no chance you're going to die from this if you're under the age of 80.
At this point, after they've already had like 6 vaccinations, they have absolutely no immune system from bleaching their food when they bring it home from the grocery store and wearing masks all day, they probably would die.
That's a good
because
point.
They have absolutely no immune system.
You know, even octogenarians are likely to survive this unless you have morbidity issues, unless you are like seriously ill in other ways. You're going to likely survive getting COVID at age 85.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.